13. The brute might have killed you, mistress, Verger remarked in the secret tongue of the deception sect, while she ministered to the injuries Aelon had received at the hands of the assassin. The priestess moved Verger aside so she could regard her image in the mirror Showalter had provided. I never feared for my life. I feared only for the development of the boathouse. The fool's blows might have damaged the carriers or retarded their growth. Verger sat back on her reverse-articulated legs, and her long ears pricked up. Do you think they survived? Aelon ran her hand over her lower chest and smiled maliciously. I can feel them ripening, Verger. They whisper to me. They await the four breaths that will liberate them. I can feel their eagerness. Theirs or yours? Aelon turned from the mirror to regard her familiar. For loosing their deadly toxin, my reward will be great. Word may well reach the ear of Supreme Overlord Shimra. Without question, Verger assured, although it will be the members of your domain who profit. Aelon continued to regard her. You have so little faith that Harar will be able to retrieve us after I have dispensed with the Jedi? Misgiving narrowed Verger's slanted eyes and ruffled the short feathers at the back of her neck. I trust that Harar will do all in his power to find you, but our movements won't be easily monitored from this point on, not after the assassin's attack. Showalter will jump us about until we're so deeply entrenched in New Republic space that even Nom Anor won't be able to reach us. His injuries notwithstanding, the ever-attentive Major Showalter had been careful not to identify the world to which they had been moved, though by all appearances it was even more remote and primitive than the last. On arriving, Aelon had had the briefest view of impenetrable forests of peculiar trees. From snatches of overheard conversation, it was clear that the planet boasted at least one small city, but also clear that Aelon, Verger, and the intelligence operatives were far removed from it. Aelon stroked Verger's downy back. If my duties demand that I die, then so be it, my pet. My domain will prosper. My father will be escalated to the rank of most high priest. And the determined Harar will prosper. That is not our concern. Verger folded her arms and bowed her elongated head. I will remain by your side, mistress. Gingerly, Aelon examined the raw bruises the assassin's powerful fingers had left on her neck. I know the one Harar sent, she said after a moment. He apprenticed under the Shai. Verger pressed her hands to her eyes and applied some of her tears to Aelon's abraded flesh. The same sect that spawned Commander Shaddao Domain Shai. The very same. Those of Domain Shai delight in inflicting pain for pain's own sake. To themselves or to others unfortunate enough to stray into their reach. To the Shai, there is no higher calling than torment. The embrace of pain. Pain is the beginning and the end. Aelon sighed relievedly. Your tears refresh, my pet. Verger continued to minister to her. Harar's aim was to convince our captors of your importance, and in that he chose wisely. Better, the New Republic thinks, the Yuuzhan Vong intractable than reasonable. Aelon nodded without comment. Though Verger might have been born of the Yuuzhan Vong's masterful talent for genetic manipulation, the exotic creature had in fact been transported to the main fleet 2 generations earlier by one of the first teams to reconnoiter the galaxy that had produced the Jedi. The scouting party had returned dozens of specimens to the world ships, including humans, Verpine, Tals, and others. After extensive experiments, some had expired and others had been sacrificed, but a few had been awarded as pets to children of select elite, such as Aelon, youngest daughter of an advisor to Supreme Overlord Shimra. Vergere's uniqueness was thought by some to be sacred. Through the long years of negotiating the intergalactic void, through the long years of Aelon's rigorous training in the Deception sect, Vergere had been her constant companion, confidant, friend, even tutor. "Does it cheer you to be back among your own kind?" Aelon asked carefully.
"Hardly my own kind, mistress."
"Among your home species, then?" Vergere's large eyes smiled.
"We Fosh were never at home among them. We were too few in number. Humankind had filled all the evolutionary gaps, bringing about the extinction of species like mine, which were merely holding a place, a niche in the continuum."
"But you are delighted with the food."
"Ah, the food,"
Vergere said, laughing. "That is another matter." Aelon grew serious.
"You could reveal the truth to Showalter and escape back into your own realm."
Vergere reached for Aelon's patterned hand and caressed it.
"I am your familiar. Were it not for you, I would have been sacrificed or disposed of. We are linked until one of us dies."
Aelon exhaled with intent.
"Despite what you say or what you choose to reveal, you know these species better than anyone else.
Even Nomanor."
Vergere shook her head.
"The Executor has made it his mission to study them, to know them better than they know themselves. We Fosh were more devoted to concealing ourselves."
"From what little you know, then, are Showalter and the women who visited us taken in?"
"Were I privy to the debriefing, I might be able to answer with certainty. Undoubtedly, the assassin's dedication to duty has helped to allay some of Showalter's initial misgivings."
Aelon's expression changed.
"He is most accommodating, that one."
"Because you have charmed him, as you do all."
"Of course you would say that. Then you believe they will provide me with an opportunity to meet with the Jedi?"
"It is too soon to tell, mistress.
Should Commander Tla deem it wise to furnish the New Republic with a victory to support the data you provided, you may yet meet with them."
Aelon considered it in silence.
"Did you know them in your time here?"
"As I say, the Fosh moved discreetly. But of course we knew of the Jedi. They were manifold. I was surprised to learn that they are now few."
She paused briefly.
"I thank you for revealing nothing of my past to Harar, mistress."
Aelon merely smiled. "Did you ever witness the Jedi employ the Force?"
"The Jedi consider the Force to be all around us, permeating all living things. So in that regard, I am certain I witnessed the Force at work."
"Perhaps it would benefit the Yuuzhan Vong to learn how to use it."
Vergere took a moment to respond.
"The Force is a sword with two edges, mistress. Cut one way and vanquish. But be careless on the backswing, or allow your mind to wander, and you risk undoing all you've accomplished."
She gazed at Aelon.
"Indeed, it might befit the Yuuzhan Vong to become aware of the Force, but it is not for all to employ. Such power should be reserved for those with the strength to heft the sword and the wisdom to know when to wield it."
Squadrons of T-65A3 X-Wings, E-Wings, and the TIE Interceptors dropped from the forward launch bay of the Arrinnic, an Imperial II-class Star Destroyer parked between Ord Mantell's like-sized and close-quartered moons. "Fighter groups are away," an enlisted rating reported from one of the crew pits below the overbridge's command walkway, dispersing to assigned coordinates.
"May the Force be with you,"
Vice Admiral Ark Poynard sent over the command net. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw a wry smile take shape on the deeply lined face of General Yald Sutel, one-time adversary turned ally in the war against the Yuuzhan Vong.
"Problem, General?"
Poynard asked, raising one bushy white eyebrow as he turned to Sutel. Sutel shook his blockish head but kept smiling.
"It's just that I'm still not used to hearing you say it."
Poynard snorted.
"Believe it or not, I used to say it to myself, even when this ship carried only TIE fighters." I don't believe that for a moment, Sutel said.
Despite appearances, I always held the Force in high esteem.
Hands clasped behind their backs, the two elderly veterans continued to advance on the bridge's semicircular expanse of triangular windows. As an accommodation to both the New Republic and the Imperial Remnant, Poynard had retained his honorific as captain of the flagship, while Sutel had been designated task force commander. Of the 16 vessels that comprised the group, some flew escort to the Irinic, but most, including a Mediator-class Mon Calamari battlecruiser, two Quasar Fire-class cruiser carriers, three escort frigates, and five Ranger-class gunships, had taken up positions above the bright side of the star system's fifth planet, since any ships jumping from Yuuzhan Vong-held space would have to enter the bright jewel cluster rimward of the planet. It was hoped that concealment would further enhance the element of surprise. Poynard paused above the most forward of the crew pits.
"Any signs of activity?"
he asked a technician standing at one of the consoles.
"Negative, sir." The woman glanced at a readout, then up at the two commanders. "Forward elements report all quiet."
"Looks like Admiral Sov's tacticians have us misdirecting our efforts," Poynard told Sutel in confidence.
"This came down from intelligence," Sutel said. "Even worse, Ord Mantell has little strategic value."
Sutel cut his eyes from the star field to Poynard. "Did Ithor? Did Abroaskai? The Yuuzhan Vong are waging a psychological war. You, of all people, should understand. Didn't your brother once command an AT-AT division?
Walkers had their place."
"As prodigal terror weapons," Sutel said. "The Yuuzhan Vong obviously mean to terrorize us in the same way, to break us by demoralizing us."
"But Ord Mantell," Poynard said dubiously. "Gamblers and tourists are the only ones they'll demoralize."
"Admiral Poynard," the woman in the crew pit interrupted. "Forward elements report enemy vessels emerging from hyperspace and shedding velocity. Performance and drive profiles confirm Yuuzhan Vong warships."
Poynard swung to the crew in the pit on the opposite side of the walkway as banks of threat assessors began to talk to one another in machine code.
"Go to full alert status. All non-essentials are confined to quarters. Engage sublight drives and pull us tight to number 2 moon."
He turned back to the female tech in the first pit.
"How many vessels?"
"Sir, 2 corvette analogs, 5 frigate analogs, 3 light cruiser analogs, 1 warship analog."
Someone behind Poynard and Sutel spoke up.
"Sirs, Wing Commander reports from target approach point that fighter deployment is complete, awaiting authorization to engage. Tactical Bridge reports the call board as clear and all systems enabled."
A holoprojection of the theater resolved above a light table in the forward pit. Poynard and Sutel studied it in silence.
"Looks like we're evenly matched for once," the general commented after a moment.
"Save for one advantage," Poynard pointed out.
"They don't know we're here."